Defense of the Holy Palmarian Bible. Extract from the Holy Palmarian Bible, the Passion, Death, Resurrection and Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Palmarian Bible is the magnum opus of the two Palmarian Holy Councils, 1980-1992, 1995-2002, in the course of which the existence of falsifications in the sacred Bible text became sadly ever more evident. For this reason, though trembling in the face of the magnitude of the task, Pope St. Gregory XVII ordered the redaction of a Palmarian sacred history, which would include all the sacred books and eliminate the falsifications. This was carried out in the Second Council, once the treatise on the Most Blessed Trinity and Palmarian morals were completed, and of course thanks to the papal charism of the Vicar of Christ, infallible interpreter of the texts of the Bible. Already in the second year of the First Palmarian Holy Council, this great biblical task could be foreseen owing to a vision of Pope St. Gregory XVII on the 21st of May 1981 in the Mother House of the Order in Seville, which he himself relates. I saw a large book, and the Holy Ghost with a quill in his beak tracing out writing, and that book appears entirely full of light. A primitive sacred book appears there, and the Holy Ghost writing directly by way of his prophets. Further down St. Jerome appears with his ear trumpet, he takes up the trumpet and puts it down, he writes, and takes up the trumpet. And the book appears with considerable light and considerable darkness. Clarification: St. Jerome translated the Hebrew Bible of his time into Latin, a work which was called the Vulgate, the Church's official Bible until the Palmarian. With the Greek Bible called the Septuagint, the same occurs as with the trumpet, and the book appears with light and darkness. The Masoretic Bible. Clarification: this is the Bible of the Judaic sect, namely the Old Testament, is written by several people, and the same occurs as with the ear trumpet, for the book appears with light and much darkness. And then upon the Hebrew text, some gestures are seen of Jews making capricious changes. Then, below the Most Holy Virgin Mary's visage, appear the following words, Permission and Mystery. Next is seen a book in which all the mysteries appear, only one book was written with full inspiration, and that book no longer exists. Now the dove with the quill appears writing in the Palmarian Council, the book of the Palmarian Council from beginning to end appears, that is, with all the work this Holy Council has done and will do, and which in its entirety will be the work of the Holy Ghost. In the course of the council work, several series of adulterations were encountered in the sacred texts, for example, one series in the books of Moses, owing to Levitical priests downgrading the great Caudeo and giving greater credit to his brother Aaron, the first Levitical high priest. Another series was encountered in the tendency to disparage converts, even eliminating entire episodes. King Solomon was responsible for another series in order to disparage his father, King Saint David, and thus cover up his own iniquity and bad government. Another series was owing to King Manasseh of Judah and Samaria united, in order to cover up the ruinous consequences of his idolatrous government, and make believe that none of the preceding kings had been good, both of the kingdom of Judah and of the kingdom of Samaria, so that in the falsified text all the kings of Samaria appear to be bad, when in reality there were four holy kings among them, namely Jehu, Jochaz, Jeroboam II and Phasaeus. Other books, for example the Maccabees, were atrociously falsified in their entirety, and required a thorough labor of restoration. From the epistles of the apostles, almost all references to the sacraments, as also to the Most Holy Virgin Mary, had been eliminated, and also required a work of restoration. And the book of the Apocalypse likewise needed considerable restoration to become what it is today, a stupendous guide, easy to read, for understanding the times in which we live and those to come up until the last judgment, and beyond. One example of adulteration in the books of Moses, the falsified text states that circumcision was not carried out during the 40 years in the desert. As though Moses would not have watched closely over the observance of this law. And also says that there was a general circumcision of all Israelites in Gilgal prior to the conquest of the Holy Land. The true text says that this general circumcision was of all those converted through the apostolate carried out by Most Holy Melchizedek throughout the land of Canaan prior to the conquest, as stated in the Book of Wisdom, and those converts thus joined the Jewish people with full rights, and were aggregated to the different tribes. Other examples of manipulations show disdain for converts. The falsified text places Moses' sister Mary over and above Sephora, daughter of Jethro, ancient of Madian, who being Moses' spouse, was therefore Israel's first lady, for it was Sephora and not Mary who broke out in a song of praise to God for the victorious crossing over the Red Sea. Another was to silence the conversion of King Ashurus surnamed Cyrus, who decreed the return to Israel of the Israelites in captivity. And it was precisely this King Ashurus Cyrus, Jew by faith, who married the resolute woman Esther, whose book had been so thoroughly adulterated that no one knew to what epoch it pertained. Another falsification was to silence the fate of Dinah, sister to Joseph of Egypt. As we know, Dinah had been violated by the pagan Sechem, who in turn was cruelly murdered by Dinah's brothers Simeon and Levi. But Dinah had conceived her daughter Asenath in her relation with Sechem, and to save Aseneth from the criminal clutches of Simeon and Levi, Dinah's father, Jacob, ordered the mother to leave home with her daughter. And years later, it was precisely Aseneth who married Joseph of Egypt, and was the mother of Ephraim and Manasseh, heads of two of Israel's tribes. Examples of adulterations owing to King Solomon. He invented episodes in which he presented his father David as a terrorist, cruel and deceitful, during the years he was banished from King Saul's court. A notable falsification by King Solomon was regarding the child fathered by David in his adultery with Bathsheba. David was admonished by the prophet Saint Nathan, who prophesied that the boy would die, as chastisement for David's adultery and murder. But David did intense prayer and penance to petition the boy's recovery. The falsified text says that the boy died, and then strangely, David dressed in his royal garments. But in reality, the boy did not die, but was miraculously cured, and that child was precisely Solomon, who did not wish it to be known that he had been born of an adultery. A constant factor in St. Gregory XVII's council labor was his desire to make quite clear that simulation or pretense goes against God's law. Hence, biblical episodes which place this divine law in doubt are therefore the result of adulterations of the sacred text. An example, St. Eod, second judge of Israel, did not kill the pagan king Eglon in terrorist fashion in a sham diplomatic visit as the falsified text says, but fighting against him and his army in open battle. The most beautiful pearl in this work is, of course, the Palmarian Gospel, a compendium of the four Gospels of St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John. In this work all the many problems faced by commentators in the past are resolved. It establishes the chronology of our Lord's life in accord with the facts given by St. Luke and discounts the mistaken data given by the historian Josephus, whose entire work is rejected for its many discrepancies with council doctrine, and confirms that Jesus Christ was born on the 25th of December in the year 5199 of creation, 7 days prior to his circumcision on the 1st of January in the year 1 of the Christian era. One very important advance in order to understand the gospel better is the foundation by Christ of the first Christian communities, the continuation of the Order of Mount Carmel founded by Saint Elias. The apostles and disciples belong to the masculine branch, while the pious woman accompanying the Divine Mary belonged to the feminine branch. For this reason, in its beginnings, the Christian priesthood was necessarily linked to the religious life, as it is again at present. The first 17 popes were all superior generals of the Carmelite order. There are several episodes narrated by the evangelists with texts which appear to conflict with each other, the explanation being that the episode occurred more than once. For instance, 3 were St. Peter's confessions in July of the year 33, 3 were the announcements by Jesus of St. Peter's denials, and 3 of Judas Iscariot's betrayal, etc. Remarkable indeed is the commentary which accompanies the Sermon of the Last Supper, giving to understand the psychology of the apostles and the motives for their interventions. And even more remarkable are the commentaries which accompany the Lord's Passion and the loveliest espousal of Christ with the cross of our redemption. And what to say of that other great pearl which is the Acts of the Apostles? Here the Holy Ghost has wished to clarify many aspects of the organization of the Church in its beginnings, in order to counteract very many errors as also to clarify every aspect of the life of St. Paul. What did he receive on the road to Damascus? By whom and when was he named apostle? What were his relations with the first pope? Without doubt this is the best ever written on St. Paul, to whom we owe so much for his admirable dedication to the evangelization of the nations. Of course, the interventions of Pope St. Gregory XVII in this biblical labor were very numerous. Besides his almost 900 dogmatic definitions, many related to biblical questions, he resolved a multitude of problems with his letters, whether on chronological, genealogical, historical, textual, etc. problems. And in the general sessions, in which he was always present, he used to resolve the problems which arose directly. Besides, there was more than one mystical intervention to settle different questions. For example, a very beautiful vision of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary as Queen Asenia, seated on a throne above the then Lake of Asenia, today the Dead Sea, venerated by a multitude of angels chanting her name, whose meaning is holy, in order to confirm the manifestation of Mary's soul as consort to Most Holy Melchizedek in Abraham's time. On Sunday the 21st of January in the year 2001, in the Cathedral Basilica of Our Crowned Mother of Palma, at about 7:10 in the evening, Pope St. Gregory XVII, on concluding the first turn of Holy Masses, while still kneeling in the sanctuary before the main altar, had an extraordinary vision and received a transcendent message on the Palmarian Bible. O my beloved vicar, Gregory XVII, de Gloria Olive, the Pope who will soon deliver a Palmarian Holy Bible to the entire Palmarian Church, from which the light radiates, from which the light emanates for the entire Church and for the world. The hour has sounded for this Pope, the discoverer of the falsifications in the past of sacred scripture. The hour has come, the hour has sounded. O beloved vicar of mine on earth, be valiant to the end. This Palmarian Holy Bible will, to the light for great conversions. Go on ahead, I will be with you to the end. Do not let yourself be overcome by your enemies. Go on ahead, I will sustain you. See, my beloved vicar, contemplate the legions of angels here now, contemplate their keen swords. These angels are sent by me to be at your service. They will guard you as they have been doing up till now. Press on ahead, so that the church may bless the Pope who shall publish a Bible free of falsifications. My church, beloved bride, Palmarian Church, you will be much better known when the Palmarian Holy Bible circulates in the world. And this Pope will be better known when the Palmarian Holy Bible circulates in the world, for by circulating first in the church, it has also to circulate in the world, so that it be the light to convert the nations, a Bible in which the reader learns to love God, a Bible in which he learns not to lie, a Bible in which he learns not to dissimulate, a Bible in which he learns not to believe the fables told by the world's historians. Here now is Pope St. Gregory XVII, in his sermon given on the 9th of August 2003 in the Cathedral Basilica of Our Crowned Mother of Palma, speaking of the council work on the Bible. The grandest work of the Second Palmarian Holy Council, as we have already said, is Sacred History or the Palmarian Holy Bible, free of falsifications. How is it possible to read certain expressions in the falsified Bible, as we have repeated so often, on the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? Referring to the Virgin Mary, the falsified Bible said, with regard to Saint Joseph, and he did not know her until she had her firstborn son Jesus, that expression means to say that afterwards he did know her, that is, afterwards they did indeed have more children and so on, because later even brothers appear, in the way it is so falsified. Those words oppose the truth, oppose everything already defined for centuries and centuries by the Church, that the Virgin Mary was virgin in childbirth, before childbirth and after childbirth, that is, perpetual virgin. And thus so very many things, as for example, turning to the Old Testament, let us take up the passage of the book of Judith, where God is portrayed as the author of a terrible sin of lust, and of a terrible sin of drunkenness. How can it possibly come from God that Judith put on all her finery, and take her pitcher, bottle, or whatever, of wine, in order to make Holofernes drunk, and once drunk? And then she take advantage of the situation to cut off his head. God never commands a sin to be committed. Nor does he try to justify the means by the end, the liberation of a city. The end does not justify the means. God can in no wise be the author of sins. God is not Satan, he is the antithesis of Satan, he has nothing to do with Satan. Hence, in that passage of the falsified Bible, Judith is portrayed as going up dressed in all her finery, and perfumed, in order to tempt Holofernes, to induce him to sin, and to induce him the better, she was moreover to bring him wine to make him drunk, and then cut off his head and send him to hell. So who sent him to hell while still alive? It would be God, then. God never does such a thing. In the Palmarian Bible it is now clear what occurred. Read the book of Judith in the Palmarian Holy Bible, and you will see the grandeur of God. And so very many things, because to speak of all the falsifications that existed in the official Bible would be endless. Hence there is no doubt that Satan, ever since the Palmarian Holy Bible began, has redoubled his battle without quarter against us, because the veils were going to be removed from the old Bible, the truth was going to be discovered. Satan, who knows more by experience than his devil, foresees that when Gregory XVII takes up a question of theology, he does so in all earnestness and ends up by removing the evil and setting things to rights. God, author of the Palmarian Holy Bible, availing himself of the instruments who were as poor sinners composing the group of venerable fathers of the Second Palmarian Holy Council, he God, is the unquestionable author, therefore God cannot contradict himself, as appeared in the falsified Bible. In the official Bible, it seemed as though God at times did not know where he was, in the way that falsified Bible was written, expressions without meaning, and God appeared to be a crank, he seemed an old crackpot acting, quite often in the Old Testament of the falsified Bible, like a capricious cranky old man. That was how the Eternal Father was portrayed, like an old grump, so that the Eternal Father had few friends in the world, he seemed like a cantankerous old man. In the Palmarian Holy Bible, what can clearly be seen is that the Eternal Father is an ancient full of love. One must think of an ancient because of the question of eternity, because the divine word is ancient, the Holy Ghost is ancient, because the three divine persons are eternal, but it is a distinction that is made. In this way is more clearly seen the question of the Eternal Father's paternity, as venerable ancient, who when he has to chastise, chastises, and when he has to reward, rewards, and is no cantankerous old man or grouch. So then, let the reader study this Bible with veneration, with abundant thanksgiving to Almighty God for having made possible this restoration of the Bible in these times of such apostasy and such fierce battling against God himself, a Bible beautified, accessible, easy to read, with essential moral teachings that previously did not appear, with great lights on the apocalyptic times, the Bible of the last times, purified, renewed, prepared for the return of Christ in majesty and glory.